Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Pure Michigan ramps up its campaign for spring and summer. We get a preview. The National Broadway Theater has an opportunity for kids this summer. We talk about the book Your Aging Advantage, the seven new stages of aging. We talk about spring car care, and our mental health collective invites the West Michigan community to the Healing Together Mental Health Fair, and we get a preview of that as well.
Raise your hand, raise both hands, if you are proud of this great state of Michigan. My next guest has probably raised her hands and jumped up for joy. She's all about Pure Michigan, Vice President Pure Michigan, Kelly Wolgamott, with us. We've talked before. Thank you, Kelly. Glad that you are here. And I'm looking forward to sharing this spring and summer Pure Michigan campaign with super listeners. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate being on your show.
I think last time we talked, it was a little chillier.
Yes, it was. I think it was very snowy.
And that's the beauty of our Pure Michigan. We have our four seasons and a little opinion, but I'm glad we're moving into another. Kelly, what is the good work of Pure Michigan in general?
Yeah, so we are, you know, working to inspire visitors to come visit us this summer to the incredible destinations we have around the state. And our new campaign with Pure Michigan is for every season of you, which you talk about those four season opportunities we have in the state. And that's exactly what we're going to do, is to showcase our four season beauty throughout the state, but also talking about how no matter what season you are in life, there's a travel experience waiting here for you in Michigan.
Wonderful. All right. For every season of you is the campaign. Do you have new spots running in our nature and in our nature and in motion?
Yeah. So we have two new spots and really trying to tell that authentic four season story that Pure Michigan has done for the last 20 years and really meet our audience where they are in their lives. It's very relatable, nostalgic, and emotional, but always with the core humanity and warmth that makes Pure Michigan its iconic brand that it is.
Is there a Pure Michigan brand takeover of Chicago come next month?
Yeah, so we have a number. We're on top-tiered platforms with this campaign, and part of that outreach is Chicago. Chicago has always been an incredible market for the campaign. We're going into our 20th year of Pure Michigan, and we are going to launch a takeover in Chicago, which will be visually appealing when you see the buses, the take over the billboards to the L line in the train system as well, where we'll be wrapping Pure Michigan imagery on the trains and on the exterior and the interior of the trains. So we are going to be inspiring that market to come visit us this summer.
Thank you for that reminder that our neighbors need to, again, visit across the pond. I want to spend a moment talking in general about the impact of the Pure Michigan campaign. Has there been a campaign performance data release?
Yeah, so we did just release at the Pure Michigan Governor's Conference on Tourism a couple weeks ago the impact of the 2025 campaign, which delivered 1.5 million Michigan leisure trips, and those visitors spent $2.8 billion in our destinations across the state, which resulted in over $171 million in state tax revenue. The campaign, after 20 years, continues to be effective and meaningful in lifting up the Michigan economy.
And bottom line, does that mean a lot of visitors are spending a lot of money?
Absolutely. You know, the impact of the brand extends far beyond tourism. It drives the local economies. It sports jobs and inspires, really, as you know, a deep sense of state pride. So the personal and economic influences are vast. And really, you know, the greatest impact lies in the connections it fosters nationwide and the communities that are strengthened by the brand statewide.
Vice President of Pure Michigan, Kelly Wolgamott, with us. Let's talk all things campaign. The campaign is out for spring and summer for every season of you. Kelly, let's go back to that celebrating 20 years of Pure Michigan. How do you celebrate?
Yeah, so it's a big year for the brand. We have this new campaign for every season of you, a big anniversary. And, you know, Pure Michigan has more to celebrate than ever, as it provides the opportunity for us to reengage and reinvigorate the hearts of the travelers with throughout our campaign extension. You know, we are absolutely going to do a nod to the past. However, we want to continue to expand the brand's creative approach to inspire present day travelers, recognizing the world is much different than it was 20 years ago. We are in state going to be promoting with it'll be official proclamation that the month of May is Pure Michigan Month in the state of Michigan. And we have an active love letter campaign called Yours Purely that will be out on social throughout the months of May and June. But we're not stopping just in the summertime. We're going to extend and celebrate and embrace all Pure Michigan has to do within our fall season and as well as the winter season next year. So we are looking forward to celebrating 20 years of Pure Michigan throughout this our four season destinations.
All right. What do you ask from the community of Michiganders?
So if you're looking for your next trip ideas, please visit us at michigan.org, where we have a lot of great information on there to inspire you as to your next trip opportunities and some incredible events coming up this summer with the 100th anniversary of the Cherry Festival and a lot of America 250 celebrations throughout the state as well.
Wonderful. Obviously, right here in our own backyard, but get out and explore all the corners of our state and, of course, our great UP, correct?
Absolutely. We are a two-peninsula state, so much to do up in the Upper Peninsula.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I won't ask what your favorite season is because I know it's all four, and right now it's heading into a wonderful spring and summer. The campaign for every season of you up and running. How do I find out more information, Kelly?
So go to michigan.org, and you can actually view the two new spots on our website and a lot more interesting content, inspiring content of our incredible state.
Thanks for what you do. Talk again, and yes, we appreciate this wonderful state. You take care. Let's talk all things for your youth. The 2026 Youth Theater Camp Series is right around the corner, and yes, we are seeing the word summer more and more. National Broadway Theater, strong in our own backyard, only stronger by sharing it with our youth to become actors in their aging age. And it's good to have, of course, you in the house, Jacob Dunham, to talk about this artistic director. Jacob, welcome to our new space. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thanks for all the talents you have on our stage and, of course, the good work of National Broadway Theater as you look to get bigger and better. But do you spend some time with the kids in the summertime?
Yes, absolutely. We're so excited. This is our, I believe this is our third summer doing kids theater camp. So we are excited to be back. And we also, the big news this year is we have previously been in various public school settings to run our camps. This year we are actually partnering with the Spectrum Theater to give these kids a bigger stage and all the lights and all the big fancy things that it is to be on stage. So that's very exciting this year.
Nice to have, again, the partnerships of all the many theaters. I know you've graced our at Spectrum Theater stage prior, you bet. Okay, let's get right into our details. Who is, well, first of all, remind me of the good work of National Broadway Theater.
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit small theater company here that is growing every year. I started the theater company as a company that pays artists for their work. So when I moved to the area, I found that there's so much talent here. Unfortunately, a lot of it is just volunteer-based. So this nonprofit works to provide paid opportunities for local artists and artists from around the nation. Just because we are, you know, relatively new, we've hired a lot of actors from the Michigan area. But it's been fun to bring new actors to work with, you know, local actors here from outside Grand Rapids as well. So,
cool. Now, again, strong you are. All right, let's talk about the little ones. First of all, who's your target audience for a young theater camp series?
Well, so we actually have a very large age gap. So it's very interesting. So we take anyone from 5 years to 15 years, and we kind of throughout the week, they are divided into different teams. So we try to keep ages, you know, a little bit of mixture, but we always try to keep general ages together. But yeah, we 5 to 15, basically everyone all the way up till middle school, those ages are not strict cutoffs. So if you have somebody who might be turning 16 this summer, that's all right too.
You can be an older youth and be just as well. If you want to get up on stage, this is the time. So do you have like three different camps?
Yes. Yeah, so the first one we start off with is a play, and then the other two are musicals. So the first one is a mixed up fairy tale. It's written by Susanna Fargraves, and she wrote a play basically that takes every fairy tale creature and throws them into one show, and it's a hilarious short play about what happens when all the fairy tale creatures come together.
I see three little pigs.
Yes. Yep. They'll be there.
And that might be Little Red Riding Hood and more. How fun would this be?
Yeah.
You bet. And then you move on to your musicals?
So then we move on to our musicals. That first play is the last week of July. And then we move on to August, which we have Lion King Kids, which we are very excited about, as many, many people are excited about. That's our hottest camp right now, especially with the tour coming through DeVos recently. Everyone's very excited about that one. So that one's early August. And then Seussical Kids runs August 10th through the 14th. So basically these camps, you come in. We have a very, very relaxed audition process the first day. Kids play theater games. They get to know each other. And then they're given a short monologue to perform. And we cast the show. We read through the show. We talk about it. And then they go home and they start memorizing. And then throughout the, you know, Monday through Friday time period, we talk about costumes and sets, and they literally create this show in a little less than 5 days. And on the Friday of camp, they perform it for family and friends. So
kind of like the recital comes to a fruition. So this is each of the 3 weeks. One starts July 27th, one August 3rd, one August 10th. Is it a Monday through Friday?
It is Monday through Friday.
Yeah, wonderful.
8:30 to 3:30, so it's a whole day thing.
At Spectrum Theater.
At Spectrum Theater.
Yes. So I'm kind of looking at the big picture. I'm signed up. Obviously, there's a fee that's important. You invest in yourself and in your kid. Say perhaps, I mean, is everyone has to audition? What if I don't get a role? There's a place for me, right?
Yes, absolutely. There's everyone will be in the show. No one gets cut or anything like that. We also have a scholarship option this year, which if you go to our website to register, which is nationalbroadwaytheater.org, and that is theater with an R-E, you can go right onto the education tab, and when the menu drops down, there is a scholarship option there. So I believe we've got a pretty good group going of scholarships. We're very fortunate to have that option this year for those who might not be able to financially do theater camp. So yes, we're really excited to offer that.
When the theater bug bites, you get on stage however you can. How, I guess the next question is, you've done these before. How will this be bigger and better, different? We've got the whole Spectrum Theater, so it might be the first time kids have been on stage.
Yeah. So in the past, we've had, you know, small theaters at schools that might be part of a cafeteria or something to that effect. And we really try to, you know, the big thing is, how is this theater camp different than other theater camps? That's kind of, you know, you always have to think about what you're offering to everybody. So in the past, we've tried to really hone in on really working the acting quality of things or the singing quality of things, teaching young kids, you know, the basics of theater. And now that we're moving to a bigger stage with big lights and all this awesome stuff, our focus is really to add those elements without taking away what we've been working on, which is really trying to teach the core of acting as well. So we're excited to add more to it. And the goal is to not lose what we've already created. So
2026 Young Theater Camp Series begins, well, not until July, but now's the time to get registered and prep. National Broadway Theater presenting this, of course, under the leadership of founding artistic director Jacob Dunham. All right, where do the parents spend their day?
Oh, they can be at the beach. They can be, we'll take the kids 8:30 to 3:30. It's the standard school kind of schedule. Drop off is at 8:30. Pickup is 3:30. It's the whole, bring a bagged lunch, bring a snack, bottle of water, all that good stuff.
And all that is, once I get registered, you'll give me all the details.
Absolutely.
And obviously where I'm going with that is mom and dad don't need to be there.
Correct. We are very fortunate to have, counselors from high schools and kids who are, active in the theater community here who are just awesome with the kiddos. So.
And remind me what a youth theater camp being on stage does for a kid in real life.
Yeah, I actually started doing kids camps when I was very, very little, and it led me to love theater and be where I am now. So we try to focus on, exercises that are going to build confidence, and we work on team building exercises. So it's more than just, we do learn theater terminology and how to be on stage and acting tips and singing tips and dancing tips, but we also try to build character and people always leave with new friends, which I love watching throughout the week.
And you get to see talent in our own backyard. Okay, obviously you have another season that we'll get you back to talk about when it
Absolutely.
Comes to the next stage of what you present through National Broadway Theater. But until then, let's get you your kids signed up for this art. Tell us details one more time, please, Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob, yep.
www.nationalbroadwaytheater.org, and that is theater spelled with an R-E at the end instead of an E-R. When you go on the website, and it's right there on the homepage, but you can go to the education tab as well and click youth camps, and you'll have all your options to sign up there.
Thanks for your leadership and giving back to our young community. Take care. Brian Moody is a big deal in his world. Let's talk with you, automotive expert, sharing an ultimate spring car care checklist. Thank goodness we can finally say the word spring and more. Looking forward to this conversation when it comes to you and more. Blue Brook, important in your world. And let's talk about this conversation. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, thanks for having me. You're right. Summer and spring are here. Almost, and that might mean road trips, that might mean car stuff, because it's been a long winter for many of us.
Yes. Automotive expert, how do you spend your day?
How do I spend my day? Driving different cars, writing about cars, talking to other people about cars, and then when I'm not doing that, I don't think about cars at all. I just watch some old TV show.
Appreciate you and the reality. Let's get into the reality that, yes, there would be a need this April as National Car Care Month to care for our cars. Why is it important to, reset this springtime?
Well, because the winter has not only a toll on people, but also on cars and equipment. So think about things like ice, wind, hail, snow, salt. All of those things can take a toll on your car, especially some of the softer bits on your car. Wipers is a good one. That's a good thing to replace. But you can replace them with specific ones that will help you down the road. So a reset is thinking about all of the toll that the winter took on your car, both inside and out.
All right. You mentioned the wipers. Let's dig into what is more, what else is needed, especially at the top of our lists.
Yeah, so Rain-X is the number one consumer choice for wipers, and they have a wiper called the Latitude 2-in-1 Water Repellency Wiper, which not only works as a windshield wiper, it actually applies water repellent technology to your windshield as it's wiping. That's pretty cool. It's super easy to install. You can do it in about 30 seconds, and you can go online and you can put your year, make, and model of car in, and it will give you the right one. And so that's a thing that you want to make sure that you replace, because you could spend less money on certain wipers, but this is one of those things where it's like shoes or a sofa. You want to spend money because you're going to really get a lot of use out of it. You want the nice one.
I like that attitude. When can one do something themselves, and or what calls for an expert in general?
Well, generally speaking, so we're talking about wipers. That's the kind of thing where you can probably replace it yourself. Many people can check their oil themselves because that's been made easy by the automakers. When it comes to things like brakes or a check engine light or those kinds of things, maybe even changing your oil, some people can't do that. It's best to take it to a mechanic when it's more sophisticated things like that. There's a few things you can do yourself, cleaning, of course, but when it comes to more sophisticated things, you might want to go to a mechanic because they have the expertise and the tools to do that.
All right, let's turn our tables to perhaps one wants to sell their car this spring. What's important?
Well, what's important is to keep the car clean. So you want to keep the car clean inside and out. Rain-X actually has a product where you can clean the interior of your car. It's an upholstery cleaner. It not only cleans, but it repels water. And here's why that's important, because it's going to repel spills down the road, meaning that your car will look and feel cleaner for a longer period of time. When a person comes to buy your car and the interior is dirty, they're going to think, well, you didn't take care of the car. A clean interior, a clean exterior gives people the idea that this car was well cared for. And you might also want to remove any of your own personal clutter because they don't want to see your photos and stuff like that. They just want to picture the car as their own.
Yeah, it's TMI. You bet. Brian Moody with us again, independent automotive expert, analyst, and media contributor specializing in hybrids, electric cars, general consumer advice, and that's why you are talking all things National Car Care Month. Other opportunities we need to take advantage of this month, please, Brian?
Yeah, this is a good time to go look at your tires because, like you said, the winter has come and gone. Potholes, alignment, that's something to consider. The salt on the roads, the ice on the roads, make sure that you have enough tread on your tires. Make sure that you have enough brakes. They wear out over time, and your mechanic can tell you that. So all of those things are important when it comes to taking a summer road trip. You don't want to be on the road and you have poor visibility, or the interior is dirty, or the tires are bald. You want to make sure that all of those things are checked out and addressed before you head out on that family road trip.
It's a good thing, and of course, gas up either way. Tell me, how are we doing with electric cars and charging up?
Fair. There are places to charge, but it's region by region. So what we've noticed is that a lot of consumers are sort of skipping electric cars and they're looking into hybrids because they use the existing infrastructure. Used electric cars are a great deal, but you have to make sure that you charge those cars up and where you're going to do that. 80% of electric car owners charge them up at home. If that's not you, you might want to rethink your purchase. But if that is you, you're going to have a great time.
Kind of that's the bottom line in life. Brian Moody, what's the best resource for us when it comes to this spring car care checklist?
Yes, all the tough stuff we've been talking about, the car care and the materials that you use to clean your car, go to rain-x.com. That will help you find the right wiper and the right products for your car. You can just put your year, make, and model in, and it will give you the right one. You don't have to be a mechanic to know any of that stuff.
On the list. Thank you very much, Brian. Take care.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the other side of aging. I patched you through, Marcus Riley, on standby, your aging advantage, the seven new stages of aging. Well, it starts young. You, Marcus, arguing that this mismatch is no longer just outdated, it's costly. Let's talk about the first time in history older adults do outnumber younger generations in many countries. Good morning to you, Marcus Riley.
Hi, Shelley. Great to be with you.
Appreciate you as well. Thank you for being here. Founder of the Booming Aging Agency, a global advocate for positive aging and the leading voice on longevity, health, and the aging economy. We just talked about Camp for the Young, and let's talk about, how an aging adventure is a good thing. Tell us a little bit more about, this statement, if you would, Marcus, of older adults outnumber younger generations.
Sure. It's really an outcome of our increased longevity, Shelley. So we're seeing, people at later stages of their life living longer. And what we're really focusing on is the opportunity we have to take hold of that extra lifespan and shape it the way we want to be living and aligning it to our priorities, our passions, and our preferences. And we feel as though there's a great ability for all of us to do that and to really age successfully, and understanding that it is possible because it's self-defined. So what one person wants from their aging journey is different to the other, and so on and so forth. And it really is an opportunity for us individually to grab hold of that longer life.
Yes. You, along with co-author Stuart Kaplan, do write the book, Your Aging Advantage, The 7 New Stages of Aging. Let's talk about, I didn't realize there are stages of aging. I know there are years of aging. Set up your premise with Your Aging Advantage.
Sure. Well, if we think about the way stages of life have been traditionally defined, Shelley, there's a lot of focus around the earlier stages. So infancy, toddler, teenager, et cetera. And then we kind of got to midlife, retire, death was the way stages were defined. But we know with our increased longevity, we're going to have more of our adult life to live after our 50th birthday than we did the years before that 50th milestone. So what we have done is define the stages and move away from them being so limited to the chronological age. As a society, we've had this fixation on the chronological age for a long time, and it's really underpinned a lot of stereotypes, our ageist approaches across society, and it very much limits people's thinking about what they're capable of. And what we've done with defining the new stages is recognizing the fluidity that comes with aging. Yes, there are some realities, and there's going to be setbacks for all of us at different stages, whether that's a health circumstance, a family situation, or a financial scenario, or what have you. But we introduced this concept of the flicker stage, which is your ability to overcome those setbacks and move back to your preferred stage of aging. And there's a range of factors we can tap into by way of positive interventions that can really foster that sense of flicker and, as I said, move to the stage of aging that we want to be, what would be in any particular time.
Yes, I like this, the flicker stage, how felt age moves forward or backward based on health purpose, and it does matter, well, more than chronological age. Keep on moving. Aging isn't decline, it's design. Let me ask why retirement is being rewritten.
Well, again, it links back to the fixation on chronological age. We feel, Shelley, that we've had this arbitrary figure of, say, 65 or age 60. That's when you need to stop working. It's when you essentially become of less worth and you should be participating less. Whereas we know that is absolutely irrelevant, and there shouldn't be an arbitrary date or age where people are told to stop doing things and they've become of less value. So what we're seeing now is people are living longer and embracing their longer lifespan in more personal and preferred ways. We're seeing people choose to continue working in different ways past those traditional retirement ages. We're seeing people plan for these later stages of life and fill them with things that are important to them, whether that's roles they play in the community, with their family, whether it's staying in their own business, whether it's looking to travel and do things that are away from work. It's really less prescriptive and more about what's important to the person and then being able to, what we call age on pace, Shelley, which is this notion of people being able to live the lifestyle they want, the tempo they want, and engaging with the activities that that are important to them.
Co-author of the book Your Aging Advantage, The 7 New Stages of Aging, Marcus Riley on the line. Yes, aging on pace, why thriving longer isn't about aging, anti-aging hacks, but about aligning health housing, community, and purpose with how long we're actually living, which then lets me move on, if you would, Marcus, to planning for a longer future. What's happening here?
Planning's absolutely crucial, Shelley, for our preferred way of living as we grow older. And one of the risks for people as we do get older is a sense of reduced control and having fewer options, having people make decisions for us, whereas planning is the key to really retaining control across our aging journey. So there's a great opportunity for us to invest in planning, and by that I mean time, not necessarily money. And in the book, there's actually some great tools for people to support their planning, and that starts with reflecting on who we are as a person, what's important to us, recognising what stage of ageing we're in at the moment, and then casting our eye forward in terms of where do we want to be in 1 year, 2 year, 10 years, whatever that time span might be, and shaping those plans in accordance with our passions, with our potential, and with our preferred choices. It's a really wonderful gift of our increased longevity is this ability to plan for it, to shape it, and through that, be in control of it.
I want to take half a step back. We have some time, Marcus, if you do. Seven stages of aging. Give me a couple of the stages here.
Yeah, one of the key stages is pre-transition, Shelley. And I should clarify as well with these stages, we deliberately have very wide age ranges attached to those stages because, as we spoke about before, these stages aren't dictated by chronological age. So one of the stages is pre-transition, which is that stage where people are starting to contemplate options and looking at what their next stage of life might be, whether that is moving away from work, whether it's considering moving to a different location to live, whether there's an opportunity we want to pursue. So that's quite an exciting phase where we can be really looking forward, bringing a whole lot of factors into our thinking and our decision making. And then we also have another stage called settled in, which is really where you've made your decisions, you've gone through the transition phases, and you're in this sweet spot of having your preferred lifestyle in action, including where you're living, including engaged with the relationships that are important to you, pursuing your preferred activities, again, whether that's continuing in your career, whether it's pursuing some study, whether it's tapping more into leisure pursuits, whether it's travelling, whatever that might be for you. So you have this really great stage where you're feeling in control, aligned to the things that are important to you. And that stage may go on for 10, 15, 20 years, depending on your ageing on pace and the factors that you are considering, which influence then the duration of that stage for you. So, yeah, there's some really exciting considerations for us, I think, Shelley, as we start to further contemplate our increased longevity and the opportunity we have to really seize it as a gift and, as I said before, shape it according to our preferences, according to our passions and what's going to help us age successfully. And I think you touched on the word purpose before as well, which we know is so important. There's research over the last couple of years have really identified sense of purpose as a number one factor in any person's health and well-being. So as part of our planning, as part of our contemplation for the stages that we want to be in, we really need to be locking into what's going to give us that sense of purpose. Is it continuing to work? If I'm stopping work, how do I fuel that sense of purpose? What are the activities that are going to see me engaged, see me maintain that sense of purpose the whole way through?
Plan appropriately. But again, we could digress and go all into the, you know, are you still getting your good sleep? Are you still moving? Are you still, you know, apple a day, keep the doctor away? All of that factors into an aging advantage.
Absolutely. There's four categories of factors that we go into great detail in across the book, Shelley, which is physical, psychological, social, and environmental. And all those factors are obviously very linked. And they're factors that we can have a positive influence over. So you alluded to our health, including things like sleep, the right amount of exercise, the right sort of diet, nutrition. So they're obviously things that we are able to access the right information about and manage for ourselves. When it comes to our psychological, how are we helping support our emotional well-being? How are we engaging both in terms of our cognitive function, in terms of our emotional well-being also? And then the social aspects obviously are vital in terms of our sense of connection with our community, with people who are important to us, and environmental as far as what is our living environment, not just our home, but the surrounds. What are the opportunities for me to engage with the things that are important to me in my local community, in the area that I'm living? So those categories are all absolutely vital and obviously linked, given the roles they play in our overall sense of health and well-being.
Very nice. All right, where do we find out information about your latest work, Your Aging Advantage, please?
Straight to the website, youraginadvantage.com, and all the information is there, and you can click on the links to buy the book and in all good bookshops from tomorrow, Shelley.
All right, Marcus Riley, keep up your great work. The latest is out, Your Aging Advantage, the 7 new stages of aging. You take care, age well.
Thanks so much, Shelley.
Our Mental Health Collective hosts their annual Healing Together Mental Health Fair. May, a big month, and yes, it's coming up. May is obviously an important month to mark Mental Health Awareness Month. So Rebecca Spann, you in the house with two N's to talk about this opportunity that offers access to culturally grounded mental health resources and much more. Hi to you, Rebecca. Appreciate you.
Hello.
Executive Director and much, much more with our Mental Health Collective. Let's start here before we get into a wonderful opportunity. Tell me about the collective.
So our Mental Health Collective is an organization that has been founded on believing that all should have, specifically communities of color, should have access to culturally responsive and affirming mental health care. And so we do that by providing resources to BIPOC mental health professionals and to BIPOC community members.
And you have a mental health and wellness fair centering community culture and collective care come May 2nd. That's a Saturday.
Yes, it is.
Yes, let's get into the details and then we'll spend some time.
Okay.
Yes, you are talking, heading to our wonderful Paul L. Phillips. Is it L or L? I?
Paul I.
Paul, yeah, I. Paul, yep. I. Paul I. Phillips Boys and Girls Club from 12 to 5. What's happening?
Yes, so this is our fourth annual mental health fair. This is an opportunity for community members, community partners, organizations to come and meet some of the mental health professionals that are in our area. Also this year, we will be partnering with mental health and wellness practitioners. So not only will it be practices there, but also those who have wellness products. We also will be providing some activities such as acupuncture, massages, candle making, and all of these things are first come, first serve. We'll be doing some line dancing so people can get up out their seats and do a little bit of movement. So this year we'll be focused on the collective as an individual as a collective, making sure that they're able to get care for their mental health, but also to have some activities and some other opportunities to move their bodies, but then to also have some products that they can use for wellness as well.
Yes. And in general, is your theme healing together in 2026?
It is. Yes. 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 We believe it's important.
Yes. So expand on that, on the whys to attend. It's designed for those seeking BIPOC mental health and wellness practitioners.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of times you can see or you can find a mental health professional online, but being able to meet somebody in person is so much more effective. You get an opportunity to talk with them, to kind of get a feel for who they are and what some of their grounding principles are. And so being able to see people makes a huge difference in comparison to just pulling them up online. So we believe that access is really important, but not only is it important for people to be able to find the information, but to be able to connect with those people as well. So the connection is a huge portion of people being able to find the help that they need.
And, of course, the bottom line, healing is communal, and everyone deserves access to it.
Absolutely.
Yes. How does this event Rebecca, stand apart from other mental health fairs? You've kind of alluded to this, but let's hit it hard.
Yes. So our organization and this fair is centered around the care for communities of color. And we believe that in being able to highlight communities of color, private practices and businesses, it really does help those who are looking for care to find exactly what they're looking for. And so what makes it a little bit different is that, one, we are centering those needs. Two, we're pulling community together through different activities. Food, oh my gosh, the food is always phenomenal.
Yeah, you have to eat.
Yes, we have three major food trucks, and we are so excited that they'll be there, as well as a community ice cream truck. We're really excited about that. But yes, so it's just another opportunity for community to come together, to share some time together, but to find the people that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. More into your activities. What does make and take this STEM opportunity?
Yes, so Cognificent Kids, which is one of our vendors who will be working with the children who come to the fair, she has a lot of STEM activities. And so those different activities, they can make slime, they can make fidgets. So, yeah, she has a lot of activities that children can engage with, but they're not only engage with at the fair, they can take them with them as well.
And you mentioned candles. Tell me more about how this works.
Yes, so Gracewood Candles, we have worked with them on several occasions before, and what happens is that individuals will be able to come in, pick a scent, and she will help pour up the candle wax. They'll sit there for maybe 30, 45 minutes or so, just enough to solidify a little bit, and then when they leave the fair, they can take the candle with them.
Nothing like a good candle smell.
Absolutely.
Still into that. And then Healing in Art. Tell me about your live painting.
Yes, so we are so excited. We will be having Brandy Mayweather. She is a local artist. She'll be there on site, and she'll be doing some artwork. We're not sure what she's going to be doing. She said it will be a surprise for us to see, but we'll be watching her do that art. People will be gathered around her just to engage with her, but then we also are really excited to unveil what she's going to be painting for us.
Again, it's this Saturday at the Paul I. Phillips Boys and Girls Club, 12 to 5, this wonderful mental health and wellness fair centering community culture and collective care on behalf of course, our mental health collective. That's you, Rebecca Spann. Tell me more about your mental health collective.
Yes, so our mental health collective was founded in 2020, and it was during a time where there were a lot of people who were seeking mental health care in the city of Grand Rapids and surrounding areas. So one of the things that we did was not only did we come together as a collective of mental health and wellness providers, we also launched a directory in 2021, and that directory today has over 170 BIPOC mental health and wellness professionals across the state of Michigan. And so the entire purpose was to increase access, to talk about things that were happening in Black and Brown communities, but then to also create a space for resources and support for mental health professionals, because we believe that if the healer is taken care of, then they can best heal our communities. So,
what's your T-shirt say? I keep reading it.
It says, "Advocate, System Changer, Community Champion. Our mental health matters."
That would be you. And May is Mental Health Month, so we'll be touching on this topic a lot. And what better way than to start with a mental health fair right away? How else can the community help you, Rebecca?
Yeah, so if you all are interested in attending, please be sure to stop by. It is free. We will have, of course, community giveaways, food, activities, and et cetera. Come to the fair or share it with those that you know. Outside of that, you can visit our website. If you know anyone who is looking for a mental health professional, you can go to OURMHC.org, and you can locate a mental health professional there.
And the Boys and Girls Club, that's down in on the west side?
Oh, that's on Madison.
On Madison.
Yep,
okay.
The one on Madison.
Very nice. So let me make sure there's good parking available.
Yes, it is across the street.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's where we go. Okay, number four. So get ready for number five next year, right?
I know. Okay. We're so excited.
But until then, you are touching lives. One more time, best way to find out more information, please, Rebecca?
Yes. Visit us at OURMHC.org.
Wonderful. Stay the course. Thanks for putting healing together in 2026 on behalf of our mental health collective. Take care. Have fun.
Thank you.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Ernest Hemingway: I may not be as strong as I think, but I know many tricks. and have resolution. There we are. Again, thank you for supporting the Shelley Irwin Fun Run this past Saturday. Onward and upward we go. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a great day.